Well, good morning. I do count it a real joy and a privilege to be able to come and share what God has been placing upon my heart. And I want to thank you, Lowell, for letting me come up here from time to time. So when we do think about the Christmas story, we think about the baby Jesus in the manger and Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the wise men. And we've all heard many, many sermons about these subjects, especially around Christmas time, right? But today, one of the themes of... What button am I supposed to press? That one. Trigger finger. There we go. One of the themes of the third Advent Sunday is the Advent, or the coming of the message. What I want to talk about today is the Advent, or the coming of the message. And what good is a message without the messenger? So today I would like us to take a quick look at the messengers, or the angels, and the part that they played leading up to the birth of Jesus. And then I want us to turn away from the angels and take a look at the message they brought. So we're going to take a look at the messenger and the message. So first of all, we ask ourselves, what are angels? Well, every time we want to talk about something spiritual, we have to come to the manual, to the book, to the source of all of our knowledge about God and spiritual things. We come to the Bible. And in the Old Testament, angels are mentioned at least 108 times. In the New Testament, they're mentioned 165 times. So we have lots and lots of information available to us in the Scripture, which allows us to build a foundation on our knowledge of what and who angels are. Well, first of all, angels are created beings. We see this in Nehemiah 9:6, Psalm 148, Colossians 1:16-17. God created angels because, as we know, in the beginning, God was nothing but God. And God created the heavens and the earth. And as he did so, he created these heavenly beings that we call angels. Angels are essentially ministering spirits. We find this out in Hebrews 1:14. So they do not have physical bodies like humans. Jesus said in Luke 24:37-39 that a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see me have. So they are spirit beings. And even though they are spirit beings, the Bible makes clear that angels can only be in one place at one time, and that they can, on occasion, take the appearance of men when the occasion demands. I mean, how else could we entertain angels unawares, as it says in Hebrews 13:2? And if you ever are interested, Olga and I could tell you a very interesting story where we believe that we had an encounter with angelic beings. I'm not saying that was, but it's a very interesting story. So you can talk to us about that sometime. Sometimes angels appear in dazzling white and blazing glory. We see this in Matthew 28:2-4. Now, because angels are spiritual beings, they do not always have to be visible. Colossians 1:16 tells us this. How many remember the story about when Elisha's servant got up in the morning and he looked out and the entire city is surrounded by the enemy army? And he's going, "Master, what are we going to do? We're surrounded." And Elisha said, "God, just open his eyes, okay?" And God opened the servant's eyes, and surrounding the enemy army was an angelic army with chariots of fire. So angels are not always visible. But when they do appear, they generally do appear in the form of men. In Genesis 18, Abraham welcomed three angelic guests who appeared to be at first nothing more than some travelers. In the following chapter, two of the angels went to Sodom, where they were assumed to be simply a pair of human visitors. One thing angels do not appear as cute, chubby infants. How many? Yeah, isn't that cute? This is by the famous artist Raphael. Angels are not chubby infants. Because when people in the Bible saw an angel as an angel, the typical response was to fall on their face in fear. Not to reach out and tickle an adorable little baby. And contrary to what some people might think or hope, good people, when they die, do not become angels. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23, it says that when we get to the heavenly Jerusalem, we will be met by myriads of angels and the spirits of righteous men made perfect. Two separate groups. There's a lot of fad going around that, you know, when people die, they become angels. I'm afraid that's not the case. Now, one of the prime responsibilities of angels is as messengers. Because the word angel literally means one who is sent, or the messenger who is sent. And these messengers of God deliver God's word and his will throughout the entire Bible. Sometimes the message is one of worship. Isaiah 6 talks about this. Come and worship the Lord. Sometimes their message is one of ministry and encouragement. We see this in Matthew 4:11 and Hebrews 1:14. Sometimes the message is one of protection. Sometimes the message demands warfare, either invisible warfare or spiritual warfare or physical warfare. Remember when Joshua was hiding out in the oil press, threshing the wheat because he was hiding because he didn't want the bad... Gideon. Great, thank you. That's why my wife's there. Gideon is hiding out, threshing because the enemy was going to take anything that they wanted. And he's threshing a little bit when he's looking around. And all of a sudden an angel comes up to him and says, "Greetings, mighty warrior of God." So sometimes the message demands warfare. But no matter what, the message is always God's message. What they say, what they speak is always God's message. In fact, according to Matthew 18:10, angels are constantly focused on the countenance of God, even as they deliver their messages and complete their mission. All right, enough about the messengers. Let's get to the message. A lot of people like to focus in on angels, but I think we should focus in on the message the angels bring. It's like getting a letter from a loved one and focusing in on the envelope rather than the letter inside. Which one's more important? So let's take a look at the message. The first message that we're going to take a look at was to Zacharias, husband to Elizabeth, uncle to Mary, who was the mother of Jesus. Zacharias was performing his priestly duty in the temple when all of a sudden a wonderful thing happened. There's the angel coming. And I'm not fully convinced that angels always have wings. Okay? But that's the picture I got. All right. So here's the message, and it's found in Luke chapter 1. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." That's quite the message, isn't it? Can you imagine going about your ordinary, everyday job, and all of a sudden Gabriel standing in front of you, spouting totally crazy things that are unbelievable? Well, there's two things I want us to take a look at in this message. First thing is, impossible things happen with God. At least I got one amen. Impossible things happen with God. Well, why was this an impossible thing? Verse 18 says that Zacharias was an old man. And his wife, who had been barren, I like how Zacharias puts this. He doesn't say, "Yeah, I'm married to an old woman." He says, "She's well advanced in years." But they were both past the age of being able to have children. So this pregnancy was physically impossible. But we know that God specializes in the impossible. I mean, take a look at your own life. If you could think back to where you were before you gave your heart to the Lord, before you became one of His children, and you think, "If I had never done that, where would I be now? And where am I now?" It's impossible. But God loves the impossible. And this gives us the strength we need to believe that God will work the impossible in our lives. How many here need something impossible? Amen? We need something that we are not able to fulfill ourselves and that nobody else could do for us. We need the impossible God. And the other part of the message we need to look at is how God was setting things up for the birth and the life of His Son Jesus. This is what the Bible describes as the fullness of time. At the perfect time, Jesus came. And this teaches us that God is the God of time and timing. Everything happens according to His will and to His timetable. Have you ever heard the saying, "God, give me patience and give it to me now"? We have to wait for God's timing. We just have to rest and trust in Him. Zacharias' son is known to us as John the Baptist. And he indeed turned many toward God, preparing the way for Jesus, making a ready a people prepared for the Lord. So that was the first message. The second message took place 6 months later when the angel came to Mary. And this is also in Luke chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Again, a very startling message. You are going to be the mother of God's only son. She was stunned and amazed. But the angel reassured her that this plan was exactly what God wanted. That she was exactly who God wanted. She had found favor with God. Sometimes we wonder, God, what are you doing by choosing me? Sometimes we wonder, why didn't God choose somebody else like that other person over there? They're much more qualified to do what you're... God, you don't know what you're doing. But God knows exactly what he's doing, and always he knows what he's doing. Because of the grace of God and because of her desire to be devoted to her family and to her faith, God favored her. She did not question the plan of God. She only questioned the impossibility of bearing a child as a virgin. So the angel explained that the Holy Spirit would come and cover her and that she would be with child. And they explained it in such a way that it tells us that this impossible thing was a simple thing for God. Then he prophesied about who this baby would be and what his birth would mean for the world, and closed with, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Now, compare her response to the response of her uncle Zacharias. Zacharias said, "Absolutely no way that this could happen." Mary says, "Let it be to me according to your word." What a brave thing for such a young woman to say. This was just the beginning of very difficult times for Mary. She was accused of fornication. She was ashamed to her family. There was the physical changes. Yet she accepted the will of God for her life and trusted Him with all the details. I wish that we would all respond to God's impossible callings like Mary did. Let it be to me according to your word. We learn from this that when God asks us to get involved with His will, no matter how crazy it may seem to us, our attitude should always be the same as Mary's. Let it be to me according to your word. The third angelic message takes place 9 months after the second one. And this encounter with the shepherds is recorded in Luke chapter 2, 9 to 18. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. The angels came to the shepherds in the night. At first, there was only one delivering the message of glad tidings and of great joy to all the nations. Have you ever thought, isn't it interesting that God sent the messenger to shepherds? It's like sending the ambassador of another country to the night shift workers at the sawmill. Why wouldn't God send this ambassador, this messenger of His holy presence to the king? Well, we know because we've read the book that the king wanted to kill Jesus. He was jealous of His throne. Why didn't God send the messenger to the priests and the spiritual leadership of the time? Well, they didn't really want to hear the message either. God sends His message to those who will receive the message and do something with it. God sent the message to the shepherds, the humble shepherds. And at the end of the message, a heavenly host, a heavenly choir burst out in song of praise saying, "Glory to God in the highest." How many here enjoy singing? Do you like singing in church? I hope so, because this is choir practice for when we get to do the real thing in heaven. I'm looking forward to the time when we can sing our praises to God and join the angels. Boy, they must have great harmony. And we're going to have a great time praising and worshiping God. And I'm sure we're going to be saying with them, "Glory to God in the highest." You notice that the angels never told the shepherds, "Okay, now, go find the baby like we told you." They only said, "This is how you will recognize him." It was assumed that they would go to him. And they did go. And they went in a hurry. And not only did they visit him, but they told everyone they ran into about the angels and the baby. I pray that we would rush to Jesus and give him our worship and then rush away telling everyone we know about how awesome he is. Even though we never will be angels, we do have the privilege of joining them in their mission. We have been called to be messengers and missionaries to deliver the message of God's word and his will into all the world. We must tell of God's choice as revealed in his word. As Peter and the worship team comes up, I just want to repeat one more time the fact that we all know. We must share the gospel message. The good news that Jesus has come. What's the purpose of having good news if we don't share it? For this is the good tidings of great joy. This is the announcement the entire earth longs to hear. That God is with man. Emmanuel. We must trust that God is great, believing him to do the impossible, stepping out of faith in faith with great courage, obeying with continued faithfulness, and we need to have the attitude of Mary. Let it be to me according to your will.